Wednesday, October 2nd, 2007, upon further review, episode number 47. Well, fall is here, autumn is in the air, the leaves are beginning to change color, soon will fall from the trees, and like the passage of time, upon further review continues to give opinions of a time gone by. Okay, it's a little overdramatic, but you get the point. Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And welcome to episode number 47. We're closing in on our 50th episode. I don't think we figured out quite yet exactly what we want to do for our 50th episode. But
we haven't talked about it, so that might affect
that might
the fact
cut down our ability to know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's going on, everyone out there? I want to say hello to everyone, thank our regular listeners, and thank all the new people who continue to file in. I want to send a couple of shout-outs to a couple of people. First of all, I want to send a shout-out to the designer of the automatic WordPress upgrade plugin. All of you who are going, what the heck is that? I just have to say that we, as everybody knows, use WordPress and WordPress to produce this show. And WordPress is, although great, not the most user-friendly thing on the free earth. And for a long time, there's been a whole bunch of new features and new upgrades for WordPress, which I haven't done because I didn't feel like spending the 6 hours to decipher everything. And everyone's always like, oh no, it really is. And I'm like, no, I shouldn't need a computer programming degree to feel like it's incredibly easy. So this guy designed this plugin, which you just activate within WordPress, and then it automatically upgrades it for you. And it did that this morning, or this afternoon, and it worked great. And there were a couple little minor tweaks I had to make, but it was very quick and relatively painless. So, good stuff, and thank you very much for doing that, because we really appreciate it. Okay, so I wanted to say that. Then I also wanted to say thank you to two of our regular listeners. First of all, Drummond Elected sent us an email about a funny story, and I had actually pointed this out to you earlier, Clea, about a woman in Seattle, and I forget what her name is, but she's 84 years old, and she had turned down a offer from a developer to a $1 million offer from a developer to build over her home.
Right.
And she said no. So he basically has built his complex. He's building it around her home.
Around her house.
Which, now, you know, the way that it's described in the article, it feels a little bit like, you know, she's being surrounded.
It's tough
like
to picture.
She
yeah.
can't escape or something.
I don't quite understand.
I don't think it'd be this mild. Oh, that feisty
like,
woman.
Like
we'll never see her again.
Maybe her house be the nice little atrium in the middle of the complex or something.
Right,
like
exactly.
That.
Like it'll be the gazebo in the quad,
yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
But anyway.
But she, like the quote said, like, she's, oh, I don't mind the noise, you know. I was like, they're nothing they're gonna do is gonna bother me.
Yeah, and
I'm staying right where I want to stay.
I guess the workers, though, they're sort of like, yeah, we have to watch out for her because she's kind of like a grandmother and all this stuff. So it's just like, okay. So anyway, that is pretty funny. So thanks to DI for pointing that out. Also thanks to Shara, who left a comment about our last show about two things. One, Bruce Springsteen. She was surprised. She said only a 7. She said she's a big fan of Nebraska, which is one of the albums that he came out with,
right.
And then totally trashed Born Identity. She's like, Born Identity, I thought, was the opposite of a good movie. It had
That's
no plot, and it was just fighting.
Just Identity or yeah. Ultimatum?
She said Born Identity specifically,
okay.
And I responded by saying she was crazy, but more or less. I mean, and, you know, I'd
appreciate it if you not call my family members crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I try not to call family
Nor
members crazy or our listeners crazy, but you know, I got to call spade a spade, and you know, if she's crazy, she's a crazy spade. That's what I'm saying. You know, so no, but in all seriousness, thank you, Shar, for leaving comments. Thank you guys to everyone. Remember, by the way, we have not been getting a lot of these, and I want to sort of remind everybody out there that we really do want you guys to contact us. We have audio options as well. Not only do we have a voice comment feature where you can leave a comment via your voice, but you can also call us at 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371, and leave us a voicemail. And if it's good, then we'll put it on the show. If it's bad, we might put it on the show.
Right.
If it's foul, then we can't put it on the show.
Right.
But chances are, 2 out of 3, you're likely to get
good.
It on the show. So definitely check that out. Okay, for the show today, we have a couple things on the docket as per usual. We're going to start out by reviewing something that we just thought about tonight, actually, as something to review. We were uncertain about what the third item to review for tonight's show. And then it struck us we had just been to Digital Life, which we reviewed last year, which is an annual convention in New York City around digital stuff, you know, iPods and TVs and gaming systems and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Although
saw...
this year it was really gaming heavy.
Yeah, it was very heavily gaming, and I'm not sure that that necessarily benefited it, but in any case, so when we went there, they were showing off a variety of different games and stuff, and one of the games, of course, one of the things they had, we went with two friends of ours who are big fans of Dance Dance Revolution, and there was a big tournament, Dance Dance Revolution Supernova, so we thought it was appropriate to talk about the game. So we'll be reviewing Dance Dance Revolution, which is available for every console on the free earth, and also is in the arcades and stuff like that, and all the kids love it, you know, so we want to be hip and, you know,
right all down with the kids.
With the kids. Secondly, we're going to
speaking of kids,
we're going to move on to the something which we've been wanting to review for a while, but I had to get my butt in gear and actually read the book, which I've now done, and we're going to be reviewing Harry Potter, the
and
final
we're
book.
We're reviewing the whole series, right?
The whole series, right? The books really more than the movies. I mean, we'll bring up the movies context,
we'll
but
until,
we want to focus on the books, really.
All the entire book series,
right? Exactly, because the last book has just come out this past summer, so we're going to review Harry Potter and talk a little bit about that.
Right.
And then we will finish up by reviewing the Just Push Play podcast. This was submitted to us actually by a listener, and I wanted to mention the email because I thought it was kind of funny. She sent us the thing and said, oh, could you review this? And then when she explained why she wanted us to review it, she said, quote, maybe if they hear it from someone else, they'll take the advice and make things better. Hmm. So I'm not entirely sure whether that's a positive recommendation or what we're supposed to...
she doesn't say what she thinks they should do to make it better.
Right. She just wants us to listen and see.
But I appreciate her having the utmost confidence that we would identify what needs to be better.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
So we want to thank Meredith, and you can find her at... No, I'm just kidding. We want to thank Meredith for letting us know about that, and we will be reviewing that podcast at the end of the show. All right? So let us get started with the first thing we have up for review, and that is Dance Dance Revolution. And if you look for Dance Dance Revolution, there are a bunch of different items, different websites out there, but the one that's the official site is quote, listen to me. Quote, he said. It's not quote. It's www.musicineverydirection.com. That's
nice.
What it is. And that has all of the Dance Dance Revolution games. Now, for those of you who don't know what this game is, it is a video game, of course, where you basically have either a pad, or if you're doing it in the arcade, there's a platform that has an up arrow, a right arrow, a back arrow, and a left arrow. And you basically step on the arrow to activate the arrow. The way the game works is they'll have a dance song that plays, and you'll be watching the TV screen or the arcade game screen, and a series of arrows will scroll up the screen in rough sync with the music that you're listening to. And every time the arrow hits the top of the screen, you're supposed to step on that arrow on the platform in sync with the arrow hitting the top of the screen.
Right.
And there are combinations where you have to jump like front arrow, back arrow, and then left arrow, right arrow, and then right left, and then back, you know, back front, and all this stuff, sometimes two at once. You know, so that's basically the game. And the idea is to be able to get through a level without getting booed off stage by missing, and to get the highest score that you possibly can.
Right.
We have seen the entire gamut on this. Clea and I have an older version of Dance Dance Revolution, which we sometimes play, which is fun and is very good exercise, which I'm sure Clea will talk about later on.
Well, one thing I want to note is if you walked into a gaming store right now and said, I want to buy Dance Dance Revolution, it's not going to be like other games where here's Halo 3, right? Here's the most recent one.
Right.
There are going to be a few to choose from.
Right.
In most gaming stores, they might only carry one, but in most instances, there's going to be more than one.
Right.
And initially, that can be a little bit confusing. And also, if you're in more of a geeky gaming store, each of the geeks working there is going to give you their own lay down on which one they
should get. No, man, the best one is totally Dance Dance Revolution,
so,
too.
Anyway, we just want to make a note that...
Did you like that? That was my imitation
that
of a geek.
No, it was highly offensive.
to geeks.
So... But mainly there are kind of three main ones right now, and they do kind of have three or four main ones right now. I forgot about American Idol. They just added that one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there are like kind of four ones, and in the most, I think, current and most kind of popular one right now is Supernova.
Right. There has been Dance Dance Revolution Supernova 2 has been announced, but is not out yet. So the one that's out there now is Dance Dance Revolution Supernova. There's also Dance Dance Revolution Ultramix 4 and Dance Dance Revolution Universe, which, yeah, so there's different versions, but the newest one, I believe, is Supernova.
Right. And so all that we're really going to be able to speak to is the older version that we have, which I don't think is around anymore, and then Dance Dance Supernova. But if you go to the website, they have a little blurb that explains the other ones as well.
We should point out, by the way, that this is available for the Xbox and for the PlayStation 2, and now I think the PlayStation 3. It is not available for the Nintendo Wii, although that may change down the line. Nintendo seems to be more about flailing your arms about, not flailing your feet about. So,
nice.
So that's the idea of that. But the other reason that we wanted to review this, and the reason that we know about Supernova a little bit, is that the tournaments now, there are tournaments which are being played increasingly with people who play platforms right next to each other. And basically, it's watching a split screen where each one has their own set of arrows going up the screen and they're following their own pattern. The reason that we wanted to bring this up was if you've never seen
the same pattern,
if you've never, well, it's, no, sometimes they can be different, you know, depending on the difficulty level. The ones we watched are all the same, but they can do it at different speeds. I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like a handicap system. If you're a better player, you play at a faster system or whatever. Oh. But the ones we watched this weekend were all the same patterns. The thing about it is, the people who play these tournaments are ridiculously good. Ridiculously good. The patterns are incredibly fast. The patterns that you have to do, the jumping from right, left, to left, back, to back, forward at the same time, all in sequence, is crazy. Where each one, they're like, perfect, 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 hitting it perfectly, not missing one.
The only thing we can think of is that they've done these songs so many times that they know...
They practice. They have to of that specific song.
What to expect.
Yeah.
And then also, and I'll speak a little bit more to this later on when we describe the game, there may be particular techniques of a particular, if it's left, right, left or something like that, there might be a particular way of doing it with your feet that maybe is easier or quicker. There certain might be certain techniques to it.
And it's probably, the other thing that we noticed as well, is that the people who are playing this are playing on the metallic platform, and it seems to us that it's easier to hit the arrows at the time that you want. When you're playing with an unfoldable mat like the one we have at home, the mat can slide, you know, and sometimes it's not as easy to hit the back arrow when
plastic,
you're reaching back.
So it's not always as consistent about picking up the slightest touch. A lot of these guys, when you get especially fast, they're barely moving their feet, sometimes touching the right one with the edge of their right foot, and then the other one. So I think that also adds a little bit more ease because of the sensitivity of the platform, as well as they have a back bar, a U-shaped bar that comes up off of the platform that they can put both their arms behind their back and hold on to to give them a little bit of leverage and support as well.
It's very, very impressive. And, you know, I was thinking about this as I was watching them. You have a lot of very few obese kids playing this game. I mean, all these kids are, you know, and are really thin. And it struck me that there are a lot of kids who are playing it.
Yeah.
And I had this urge to go up to one of them and be like, so... what grades are you getting in school? Because, I mean, there's no way that you can be this good at a game like this unless you're spending literally hours a day working on it. I mean,
yeah,
there's just
no way.
Yeah, but you know
what? Kids do that in sports. Kids do that dance class. Kids do that with hobbies. So I guess. Don't have a problem with it necessarily.
I guess. It's certainly good because it's active. So there's certainly, you know, there's no question about that.
Right. But so we would encourage you to go to YouTube, see some clips of...
There are clips there, yep.
...of some competitions, but also see if there's a competition nearby you and go out and watch it. It is a fun thing to watch.
It is definitely fun to watch as well. What about, you want to talk about the exercise part of it? I mean,
So talk about the when you buy the game, it usually comes with a mat. When we bought the older game, it came with a mat, and then we bought an additional mat because we thought we would probably both be wanting to do it together. And we actually liked the separate mat that we bought better than the mat that came with it.
Right.
And we just played Supernova on some other friend's house, and the mat that they got with Supernova is very similar to the mat that we got with our older game, and we were equally a little concerned around the sensitivity of it, as well as the possibility that at some point during the game it seemed like it stopped kind of working.
Right, and it wasn't hitting the right buttons.
It wasn't hitting the right buttons.
Yeah.
So just something to keep in mind that you might want to return it, or you might want to get an additional mat so that you don't get stuck not being able to play the game. So with that in mind, the mat's important because obviously... you want to be able to, if you miss something, have it actually be missing it. But if you're getting it, you want to actually be getting the points for it because it can be frustrating otherwise. So, yeah. So, they have the gaming feature. They have the competition feature. And they actually have an exercise feature on this game where you can do it to exercise. And it will monitor your different speeds. It will monitor how long you've been doing it. It will monitor the calories you're burning, all that kind of stuff. And it will track it and all that kind of stuff for you.
By the way, while you're doing the gaming section of it, you often do the gaming part to unlock other songs, because you start out with a certain number of songs and you want to be able to unlock new ones. Some of the songs come with a video, the music video that came with with it would they play underneath? So that, for example, the my all-time favorite dance song, I'm not a huge dance music guy, as regular listeners might expect. I'm progressive rock, yes, a lot of different kinds of dance music, but there are some songs that I like, and this particular one has the song by the band Dirty Vegas, good name, called Without You, and it is a I love that song, and so they have that dance song in one. You can actually see the video there also.
Right.
And
but
so,
it's,
yeah.
It's like rave music. A lot of it is like techno.
Or trance. Yeah,
trance.
Or exactly, yeah. But it's club music. I mean, if you're, you'd be very familiar with it. It's not, we're not talking ballroom here, right? It's a very specific kind.
But we did find that Supernova had a lot more current and 80s, 90s songs. It had a lot more real...
Like Funky Town?
It had more like stuff you've actually heard on the radio, which I kind of liked because I think it kind of expands the amount of people that might be find songs that they know.
Right.
While the one that we had barely any songs that we knew, and most of them was techno, rave, kind of pop stuff. While this most recent Supernova had a lot of songs that we had heard of from all different kinds of genres. So
right.
Definitely a benefit, a good change that they made. And it ranges, it gives you... ranges of difficulty, speed.
Even within the same song, you can play a version of one song, which is very easy, and if you play the complicated versions, I do think that there's a skill, I should just say, to quickly digress, to processing and operating on these that quickly,
right.
And I think that that's a talent which you can get better at, but I think some people are just born to do.
Right.
You know, Clea, for example, as people know who've listened to the show for a while, is a dancer, and so Clea was able to perform very well on these games, you know, in part because she has that sense of muscle memory and everything else. I'm okay at it because I have a sense of rhythm. I'm a musician. But, you know, it's sometimes amazing to me that you can process that quickly and then have your feet react that quickly. And I think a lot of it has to be, as Clea said before, based upon working on the song over and over again until you've literally memorized the pattern.
Yeah.
But that can be an amazing in itself because some of these songs are, you know, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes long, and the speed that they're moving their complexity, you know, is crazy.
Was quite quick. But yeah, I mean, I was a tap dancer at one point and definitely get to a point where your brain just stops. You stop using your brain. You just let your feet go.
Yeah.
So there is that kinesthetic ability that some people are born with. But definitely, if you practice, you'll get good at it, and it can be a lot of fun.
Yep, and good exercise.
But one thing I do want to mention is the locking feature, because you brought it, the unlocking feature you brought up. I do want to make sure that we review this aspect, because in the game that we had, the older game, it was really easy and straightforward on how to unlock stuff. In Supernova... it doesn't seem very user-friendly.
Well, the problem is it's gotten super Japanime, right?
Yes,
which means that it's all, you go to a planet and then this weird character pops up and is like, you know, isn't da-da-da-da-da? And then you're supposed to like do what she tells you and do these trials. It's very strange.
Yeah.
And
I guess
it's
they were trying to get more gamey with it, like have it be more of a game where you have to do trials and
which is fine, but it's just not very clear as to how you engage in the different things.
Yeah.
And that's part of the kind of, you know.
But we did a Google
search. We'll have to review Japanime sometime. That's part of that.
Well, I don't know.
Anime's culture. Anyway, so
we do a Google search. We figured it out and
it worked out. Yeah. So you can enjoy this on a lot of different levels. It's well known that this, along with the Nintendo Wii, is kind of revolutionizing the way that people play games. I've heard rumors that they're going to be doing things like a snowboarding and skateboarding game where you're standing on that and then you're rocking back and forth.
Right.
The point is that video games are becoming more active, and there's obviously, for a lot of reasons, that's a good thing.
Right.
So, I mean, it is more fun. It's more likely that you're going to exercise if you're not interested in exercising if you have a game like this in front of you, because it's just more interesting than kind of standard straight ahead exercise and things like that. So
right, along with this, you know, we've talked about Karaoke Revolution. Have we talked about Karaoke Revolution?
Not.
So maybe sometime in the future we can review Karaoke Revolution, and we can review Guitar Hero.
Right.
We can review. We've played both of those numerous times. We might want to review those in the future.
But it's good stuff. What do you want to say for a rating?
Now, are we going to do the review the whole?
I'd say review the whole. Yeah, they're similar enough that we get the idea. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to give it a kind of high rating, 7 or 8.
Yeah, I would say an 8. I think an 8 is reasonable because it was very innovative at the time it came out, and it certainly has gotten people more active. It certainly functions well. I think I would caution Konami, which is a company that makes it, to not overreact on reinventing the wheel all the time. But having said that, yeah, I think an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. So good stuff, good game. Definitely worth checking out. 8 out of 10 for Dance Dance Revolution. Okay, next up on the docket for tonight is Harry Potter, and you can find the official website here, although I think it's actually the official film site, which is annoying, but anyway,
yeah.
HarryPotter.WarnerBrothers.com, so it's HarryPotter.WarnerBrothers.com.
Right.
Now, assuming you haven't been living under a rock, you will know something about this series. Harry Potter, which is a 7-book series, started back in the early, I guess I want to say around 2000, maybe 2001, maybe the late 1999.
Late 90s, I think.
With the first book called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Mm-hmm. It was written by a woman named J.K. Rowling, R-O-W-L-I-N-G.
Is it Rowling or Rowling?
I think it's Rowling. I saw it was pronounced as bowling, I believe is what it is.
Okay.
Who was a Scottish woman who was trying basically to succeed as a writer. And she had this idea for Harry Potter, and she had basically sent it around to a bunch of different presses. Everybody said, no.
Yeah.
Sounds very familiar to me as an aspiring writer. I've been going through the same process.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Scholastic, of all places, finally picked it up. And boy, Scholastic ended up being set for life because they picked it up and it became an unbelievable, incredible, ridiculous phenomenon.
So she's gone from this barely have any money,
one of the richest women in the world now,
to, I think, beating out the Queen.
Yeah, the richest woman in England, right? Yeah. Or we're one of the richest women in the world. Yeah, it's really something. And I should say that, you know, basically the Harry Potter series follows the exploits of this character, Harry Potter, who discovers his wizarding talents. And most of the series revolves around his time in school, which is right. Very much like a British boarding school.
7 years of school.
7 years of school. So he goes through the process of, it leads him all the way from a young kid of maybe 11 years old, all the way up till 18. When he's going to graduate. So it's through the sort of junior high school years.
Right.
And it's a British boarding school, so you have all these things of like sort of typical British teachers instructing him on things, except instead of instructing him in math and science, they're instructing him in potions and, mm-hmm. you know, how to ride a broom and things like that.
Right.
But the formula that Rowling put together, which I think was brilliant, was to combine a kind of mystery, because there's always a mystery feel to it, to the magic of the world that Harry Potter's in, mm-hmm. along with a well-written character that you can root for in Harry.
Right.
And when you put all those elements together, what you've got is a book which is extraordinarily successful. And I'm aware of the fact that there are some writers in my field, there are some fantasy writers, who have objected to Rowling because they've said, oh, you know, her stuff isn't that great, and she gets all this attention and applause. Look, this is all I'm going to say about it, okay? I've read all of the books myself. No, it is not deathless prose. It's not the greatest literature in the world. But as opposed to a lot of what's allegedly called children's books, a lot of that stuff, it is pretty well written. It doesn't generally talk down to its audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it has gotten kids more interested in reading than educators have been able to do for half a century. And I'm not exaggerating. Kids waiting outside at midnight, thousands of kids waiting outside bookstores for the first book to go on sale. This is the way they act when Nintendo comes out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And here these kids have gone to read Harry Potter themselves. There's a whole movie franchise, but the kids have been really more interested in the books
mm-hmm.
than in the movies.
That's
so really, this has created an entire generation of readers again, and these kids are going on to take my fantasy fiction class, to read, you know, books of King Arthur and other series, so there has been transfer. And so, to me, she deserves all the money she gets. If she was able to do that and teachers weren't, then go her, you know, mm-hmm. and I admire what she's been able to do with the series and what she's been able to accomplish in writing it, so...
Right, and definitely in comparison to some other writers, the one we would should probably pay homage to, although since he just passed away, and not
Robert Jordan,
and not put him down too much, but she set a goal for herself and she tried to do it right and she ended it
and she finished it, as opposed to Robert Jordan, who couldn't finish his series,
right?
Lost control of it. Really,
you know, I think definitely we can see one of the negatives that happen as a writer becomes more popular. The editing aspect can go a little bit about along the wayside. I thought the last couple of books. Could use much more editing.
I agree. It could have been cut down by 100 pages or so.
A little bit of content, but also grammar and
yep.
errors.
I agree.
That I don't know if they just were rushed or if they just didn't want to you know, change her work. I think overall it was a very successful run.
Yep, and very consistent. The book is basically, as we said, seven strong. It starts with Harry Potter's and the Sorcerer's Stone. Actually, the Philosopher's Stone in Great Britain, that was 1997. Then Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets was 98. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which is my favorite still of the series, that was 99. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, where she decided she was going to start writing really, 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 really big books, that was July 2000. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which was my least favorite, that was 03. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince in 05, and then Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows 07. And I want to say something quickly about what Clea said as well about finishing a series. Robert Jordan, the person that she mentioned, is a guy who wrote a series of books which started with The Eye of the World and then I think The Great Hunt, and there were a whole series of them, and was considered, you know, a very, very good fantasy author. But Robert Jordan, for either deliberately or unintentionally, lost control of his series, where the series started out well, and then by about the fourth book, you were starting to wonder what was going on, and he hit, I think it was book 13 or 14, and still had shown no signs of coming to an end. He actually went back and started writing a prequel to the series before finishing the original series. Right. And Robert Jordan passed away, sadly, a couple of weeks ago at the age of, I think, 58 or 59 of some blood disease or something, and ended up dying without having finished the series. So all these people who had followed along will now never know. I mean, I'm sure they'll have somebody else who was his executor finish it, but, you know, it's not the same thing. And Rowling knew when to get into her world and get out of the world. Mm-hmm. She knew when to stop. It doesn't mean that sometime in the future she may not write, you know, a Harry Potter book or something, but this arc that she started in the Sorcerer's Stone finished at some point.
It does
point.
Take
and
a lot of
she
guts.
Deserves credit for
it
that.
It does take a lot of guts to do that.
Yeah.
When she,
but it's
she
important,
knows
though.
She could,
you know, it's important
keep
to
it going.
That.
I mean, in some respects, it might be easier because, again, it's a school, 7 years you graduate. That does give it some structure upon which she can build. But definitely, I'm sure that she had lots of people calling her and meeting with her saying, don't finish it, don't finish it, don't finish it. I loved how you went through that list and giving your own little tidbits about your favorites. One thing to note is definitely the character of Harry does grow and change a little bit. And just as a kid will go from a middle school personality to a high school personality, there are times in their lives where you might like them or dislike them, and that can come up. And also there are certain themes with respect to the fact that Harry is the focus of a lot of attention, and there's the media coverage of him, and with any kind of media coverage and mass populace trying to dig into data, there can be misunderstandings, there can be overreactions, and so there are certain themes that become a little bit repetitive and a little bit annoying, and I think that that's where Greg can say that he his least favorite book was
Order of the Phoenix.
The Order of the Phoenix, because it kind of culminated in that kind of angst and misunderstanding.
Well, my least favorite, because I just, yeah, that age group is not my favorite. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, oh, I'm so sad. I'm a wizard. Oh, shut up. You're a wizard. You know, it's like the vampire thing. If I hear one more vampire character, I hate to be immortal and live forever. Shut up. You're a vampire. God. So that was my problem. But in general, though, if you think about the overall quality of the series, it's pretty impressive. Now,
right.
I don't think it's better than Tolkien. I don't think it's better than sort of a great literary series. It is not high literature by any degree. But I think in the sense that it has, again, it's smart. It's not the Barney of books. It doesn't talk down to its audience. And I think that's important. And I think it also did a good job of sort of following along with its audience. I mean, if you try to sort of pick up book seven, you will have no idea what's going on. I mean, book seven very much requires that you've read books 1 through 6 to understand what's happening.
Right.
But I think it's the kind of thing where if you've never read any of them before and you start with book one, they're not super long reads and you should be able to get through them reasonably quickly, especially because the age group is a little bit younger.
Right.
There has been some controversy about these books in some communities who have talked about the idea that it's about witchcraft and everything else. But again, it's absurd because, of course, the baseline of these books and what also separates them, the message of these books, is the idea of love conquering all, is the idea that there are some things that are more important than power, and that if you have persistence and some luck, but especially persistence and will, which Harry has, you can overcome a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, by the way, it doesn't sugarcoat stuff. I mean, characters die in this series. Mm-hmm. There are people who die and things that die that you're kind of surprised about. And so she's willing to do that. And I admire the fact that she kills off some some people, doesn't kill off others because she doesn't want to make that a trope. Oh, look, I get to kill everyone off.
Mm-hmm. Who's your fantasy writer that you hate that always does that?
Well, there's a guy, George R. R. Martin, who's, everyone's always so dark. Yeah, he's dark because he comes up with 150 characters and then kills off 149 of them. You know, congratulations. I also could massacre a whole bunch of people if I wanted to be like, see, look, I'm really dark. And, you know, that guy started writing angsty books, clearly. And, oh, so I hate to be immortal. Anyway,
all right.
So good stuff. What do you want to say for a rating on the Harry Potter stuff?
9.
9's a little high. I would say more like 8. Yeah, especially
that's
because
fine.
Of the editing and things like that.
That's fine.
But a very good overall series, worth getting, and definitely something which is worth reading to kids or, you know, that sort of thing. Or reading for yourself, of course, if you're mm-hmm. an adult. So 8 out of 10 for the Harry Potter series. Okay, last thing on the docket for today is the podcast Just Push Play. Again, this was recommended to us not by the people who made the show, but by a listener to the show. You can find it at the justpushplayonline.com, JustPushPlayOnline.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Just Push Play show is essentially run by three people who do a show about a lot of sort of pop culture, but especially geek culture. So video games and anime and
comic
certain
books,
TV shows and comic books and things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a good deal of Nowhere in Mulberry, which we reviewed some shows ago, in mm-hmm. the sense that you have a group of people sitting around and talking about it.
Right.
It doesn't, blessedly, it doesn't have a bunch of this sort of cheap gimmicks to the same degree of sound effects and stuff like
people.
That.
Well,
and
yes,
fewer
no.
people, which helps cut down the interruptions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a very good audio quality. Apparently, the people who run this show are people who were or connected to the radio profession, so they mm-hmm. obviously know something about getting their audio right.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds very professional. It's put together very well.
Yep.
And they actually have a live show on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, which I think
is
interesting.
That's the show.
Yeah, and then they maybe do an edit of it, because I think they may have some edits that are connected to it. But anyway, yeah, but they do have a live version that they do originally, and even a chat room that you can be in as well. What do you want to say about this, hon?
Well, we listened to a few earlier ones, a few of the middle ones, and then a few later, most recent ones.
Right.
I have to say the quality is pretty consistent.
Yep.
The style and the format, pretty consistent.
Yep.
So I thought that was a strong point, since they've been doing it since March of 2007.
And thank you for compressing your audio properly, so it's not painful to listen to, and I didn't have to ride the volume switch. I really appreciate that.
So again, the production quality is quite good.
Yep.
So I guess you just start from the beginning. They have this opening thing, which is very well produced, but kind of feels more like a media clip. For me, something that they would send, you know, a commercial, a little blip.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to put it at the beginning of every one.
Check out Just Play, Push Play.
And then
where
they describe
it.
You don't need to listen to it every time.
Yep.
But then they go in and they have different segments of the updates, giving you like news flashes around comics or cartoons or TV shows or stuff like or technology. So I found it very informative. If any of those things, if you're interested in any of those things,
yep.
All of them, I think. Obviously are pretty knowledgeable about the subject, very interesting.
A little disturbingly knowledgeable, let me say. I mean, I know something about these, but they started firing out the
we
woman
listened to
here.
One about the anime.
Oh, God, is Neo Genesis. Well, it reminds me of Matsujei and Matsuzaki and
Robot Q.
I was like, what? They brought up Voltron. I was like, Voltron. Yes, I watched that.
But
yes, I've heard of that.
They just said Voltron, and then they moved on.
And then they were like, blah, blah, blah. And that's like Neon Genesis 5. I was like, Neon what? Yeah, so, yeah, these guys, I assume they're knowledgeable.
I mean,
they could be just throwing stuff out, Clea. We should just do that. We should just be like different dance forms. It's like when you play samba. What's samba? It's like samba, but you combine it with the waltz. It's samba.
We could make, but this is the internet. They could be totally
whatever they want.
We could be clueless. But I have to. But I would say two things to that. One. Someone's going to listen to it and then challenge them.
Especially these kind of people be like, you know, seriously?
These are the people that like send in Star Trek, you know, things like this was inconsistent, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But not only that, when they have a live thing where they're taking phone calls and they're on a chat thing, I'm sure someone would probably say something.
That's true.
Probably
so they have to know their stuff, you're saying.
They got the checks and balances to the system. So again, I do think that there is quite an array, you know, and obviously here UFR, we like that. We like there being a full array.
They've done interviews. They actually did a call in from a guy who was at Comic-Con out there. So they do remotes apparently, where they've actually done mm-hmm. broadcasts from, you know, conferences and conventions mm-hmm. and things like that. So they've done that too. They deal with TV also, not just anime. They deal with like Lost and 24 and things like that too.
they all seem to get along. They yep. all, I think, work well
good
together.
Good chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Good chemistry. And none of them, I didn't find any of them annoying.
No, I didn't either. And it did seem as if they were enjoying what they were doing, which yeah. definitely makes a big difference. I guess what I would say is there are parts of the show which drag. And I think the negative mm-hmm. for me, and that's partially related perhaps to my not liking the subject matter, some parts of the subject matter. But I also felt there were times when they could have talked about things more interestingly, and I think this may have something to do with digressions. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. They were talking about Halo 3, right? And so they're going to talk about Halo 3, which is this new game that just came out for the Xbox and set all these records in sales. They start talking about it, and they do their little bumper where this guy announces, you know, and now video game news or something. And then they start randomly talking about some guy with some congressman in Florida, and he did something yeah, scandalous. I didn't understand it, and then so that kind of wandered
down
on
in Florida.
Yeah, they are down in Florida. Yeah, they yeah. are. And then they went from there, and then they kind of wandered on to something else. So there were times when I felt it's not like they need to stay focused and stick to a script. I'm not saying they should do that,
no.
but there were times when I think a little bit more editing, and maybe that's because it's coming out of a live show, would have helped focus the show a little bit more for me. The second thing about it is, and this is very important for people to know, this is not family friendly. Repeat, not.
Right.
Family friendly.
Right.
If you are, this is not for kids. You know, this is for people who are mature because of language and also because of, you know, certain adult themes. I mean, it's done in kind of a cute way, but still, I mean, there's some stuff that they talk about.
It's offensive. It's
no,
just
it's just not.
Friendly.
It's just not something that kids necessarily. You wouldn't want your kids to be exposed to it. And since we're a family show, we want to let everyone know about that. But it's not overboard. You know, the language I didn't think was overboard. I thought that was fine. But there were moments. I just wanted to point that out. And as I say, there are moments when the show drags a little bit for me, and I think that's probably related to this kind of, you know, freewheeling format where all of a sudden you can come up with something else. And we do little digressions on the show, but we try to keep them short. And I felt that doing that a little bit more would have helped kind of, you know, move the show forward.
Right. And also sometimes the digressions can make it a little bit difficult for you to follow, particularly if you're not as familiar with the
particular
subject.
When you're explaining the sixth sequel to Neon Q5. You're like, what? What is this?
Right.
You know, so...
This is just something to keep in mind. I'm sure they're in somewhat of a bind because on the one hand, they want to bring up-to-date, you know, specific information about things that people who are interested in those things know about. But on the flip side, I would think they would also probably want to be educating and bringing information to people that might not know as much information.
Mm-hmm.
But that might be interesting for them to decide. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to do both or if they're just trying to do one. If they are just trying to talk to people that are completely familiar with this and completely interested in what they're talking about,
yep.
then fine. But if
this
they're
is
not,
that whole audience thing which we've talked about before,
right, again,
knowing your audience
knowing
and
your
deciding
audience.
Who you're writing for.
Because if not, then you know, some of the discussion, they obviously have opinions about things. You know, we somehow, I don't know what it is, whenever we listen to certain podcasts, somehow we always get Soprano topics. Like, they were like,
no.
It was mentioned at least like half of the ones we listened to. This is kind of funny.
So glad we missed that show.
But, you know, I mean, there's certain things that they definitely just brush off because they don't think they're of importance, while other subjects they obviously give a lot more focus and a lot more attention to. So again, just kind of figuring out what it is your priority. Are you actually trying to give it in-depth of information on a particular subject? If so, give it, and then you could still give your opinion, but I definitely get that their biases sometimes come in, which is totally fine.
That's
if
fine.
Your focus is just kind of, the three of us are going to talk and give you updates and you just listen, which is kind of what I feel like that is that we're just listening to the three of them kind of talk.
Right, which is fine.
Which
and
is
that's
fine.
That's one of the other, but it is a specific decision that's being made to do that. So.
Right.
But having said that, I actually kind of went into this because of the email that we got where it said, maybe if you listen, they'll be able to change things, expecting it was going to be a disaster.
Mm.
And it really was not a disaster. I mean, I listened to it and thought, this is all right. You know, that there's some good elements to this. I mean, I didn't really have a big objection to much of the show other than what you've just explained, which I think is fair enough about the audience. And then my sense again about it being dragging a little bit at times. But I mean, otherwise, I didn't find anything that was particularly heinous. And I thought that especially when the audio quality is good, it's clearly professional. If you're somebody who loves anime, you'll love this show.
Right.
If you're somebody who loves some elements of pop culture or geek culture, I should say, you'll love parts of it and not other parts of it. But then, you know, you can fast forward through that. It's not a sort of cover to cover listen, if you will.
Yeah. I think the only thing is that it is a half hour. Which is not very long.
That other one was like an hour, though, that we
That's
listened
true.
To.
It does,
the length
no,
varies.
It's true. It does,
yeah.
It does vary. And it would be good, especially if you're dealing with topics that people might not be interested in. It would be maybe if you could give us an idea of the topics that you're going to cover, at the beginning.
Yeah, they say a little bit of it on their website, but not, you know, like we try to bring it up at the beginning of the show for people who are just downloading it on iTunes and not looking at the website.
Exactly.
You know? So
exactly. And that way, if you want to scroll forward, you can. And we found it very difficult. This one thing we do sometimes when we listen to a review is we'll listen to the whole way through. And then we also kind of say, well, if we just, you know, scrolled forward, would we be able to pick up and kind of listen? And I found that really difficult for this. If we just scrolled forward, we wouldn't be able to know what was going on.
Right.
So that is a little bit difficult if you're dealing with a bunch of different topics and the possibility, therefore, that some of those topics might not be interested to people. It is difficult then for people to move forward and actually listen to the topic. It kind of forces people to listen to the whole thing, and that might tune them off.
Right.
Because they might go, it's too much. It's
right.
I'm just going to not listen.
I'd say a 6 or a 7 for this.
That's exactly where I was too. I don't know which one.
You know what? I'm going to say a 7 because I think they know what they're doing. I think it's an issue of making maybe some tweaks and sort of working on things that they need to do, but it's not a show. It's not a show that has big gaping holes in it.
Right. I mean, one thing they did talk about is that there's somewhat inconsistent in getting together. And that's tough when you have three people.
Right.
So sometimes you're not going to get all three people. And sometimes, you know, they might miss a week or two. And so that might be a concern to some people. But I don't know. Obviously, we can't throw stones, so we're not going to speak to that. But that might be a complaint that some people have. But they seem aware of that in the posts that they make on the website. Okay, 7.
Okay, so a 7 out of 10 for the Just Push Play. And it's interesting. Check it out. Again, not safe for kids, but if you're in the adult range, then definitely check that out as well. All right, that is going to do it for us for this week. We are going on vacation this weekend. We're going up to New Hampshire and Vermont. So it's going to be
foliage season,
season for Columbus Day. And I'm also going to my rehearsal because the week from now, or week from this weekend, October 13th, is my band is playing at the Underscore. You should come check us out if you're in the New York area. We definitely love to have you. But after that shameless plug, we will try to report a little bit on what we see up in New Hampshire and Vermont. Maybe we'll review, New Hampshire and Vermont.
We'll review
fall
leaves.
Fall foliage. We'll review leaves. We'll review nature and the outdoors.
No, just leaves.
Nature, leaves. Leaves. Some leaves get an 8 out of 10. But this leaf, that will be can't miss radio right there. But thanks a lot, you guys, for checking us out. Please continue to send us suggestions about things to review. Please get in contact with us, and we will see you guys next week. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See ya.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!